Fair Independent, brief, 21 January, 22. Quote, the government will no longer mandate the wearing of face masks anywhere. End quote. Prime Minister Boris Johnson announced, telling the British Parliament, quote, our scientists believe it is likely that the Omicron wave has now peaked nationally. End quote. The only remaining requirement at this time is for anyone who tests positive to self-isolate for at least 5 days, and he, Boris, said the hope is to lift that legality also as the country shifts to treating this new virus as an endemic virus like the flu, rather than a pandemic. In a refreshing statement, after a hard several years, he said, quote, we will trust the judgment of the English people. We are the first to emerge from the Omicron wave, end quote. Hopefully, other nations will follow soon with similar attitudes. While we're at it, while we're restoring freedom, England, maybe you should weaponize your people again. But, you know, we'll take whatever victories we can get. But, I'm editorializing. In the UK, new infections dropped by 38.9% last week. And hospital admission rates have also slackened. The high vaccination rate is credited for this drop. Not by me. In the much less vaccinated Estados Unidos, the United States, a drop in deaths and hospitalizations from the virus are sparking hopes of their own. Illinois is already seeing potential signs of tapering. And Washington State is expecting to start seeing hopeful numbers soon based on predictions from the Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation at the University of Washington. Speaking of Illinois, if you want a good sit rep for what's happening in Illinois, there's a YouTube channel called Bug Out Bob. Bug Out Bob. I posted up a video on Patreon last night from his channel regarding some of the happenings in Illinois. It's not all as rosy as you think. And I've got it on good authority that there's targeted systemic murdering, assassination of law enforcement officials in at least one county there as well. Chirac adjacent. It appears that the places were hit. It appears that the places that were hit first, like Chicago, will move past the peak soon. The question is, once that happens, how will policy be affected? There might be some indicators available. After the Supreme Court blocked the Biden administration from requiring large businesses to force vaccination or testing on their employees, Starbucks reversed the policy it had announced earlier this month. It is no longer requiring its U.S. workers to be vaccinated. It's been reported that most of their workers are vaccinated, but for such a left-leaning company, this policy reversal is quite an indicator. The company has about 200,000 employees across 9,000 stores in the United States. Excuse me, my frozen water bottle is melting. I'll be right back. Probably worth pointing out, this coat was manufactured by a company called Carhartt that, in spite of the Supreme Court of the United States not requiring that employers with 100 or more employees force vaccinate or force test their employees, Carhartt has doubled down and is still requiring that. And does not stand for medical freedom, which is very disheartening because the people that wear Carhartt on the regular, farmers, ranchers, blue-collar workers, you know, just people that work with their hands, are very, generally speaking, very freedom-minded individuals. And Carhartt has virtue signaled their way into bankruptcy, as far as I'm concerned. They say that it is because of the need for safety in the workplace. I disagree. And I don't believe that employers get to tell employees that they have to do that. And neither does the Supreme Court. Specifically, what the Supreme Court said was that OSHA did not have the authority to enforce that mandate. They did not say that that mandate was unconstitutional. They said that OSHA does not have the authority to enforce that mandate. Additionally, they upheld healthcare workers having to be vaccinated in order to come to work, which has many in the healthcare industry in an uproar. And their reasoning for that was because many of those healthcare workers are paid with federal funds, Medicare, Medicaid, that the government did have the authority to make that call. That's how I understand it. All that being said, I have cut the Carhartt tag off of this coat, and I will cut and burn every other Carhartt tag that I have. See right here, it used to be right there, as a sign to Carhartt. And I will not buy anything else from Carhartt ever again, which is a damn shame, because I have built seven-figure plus businesses all across the United States of America in Carhartt gear. I still have the first Carhartt jacket that I ever bought from 20-some years ago that I built my timber business in. And it is a ratty, messed up piece of junk at this point, but it has huge sentimental value. And it's still warm. It still works. Damn it, Carhartt, you stepped in it. And I don't care if you have a huge reversal of heart now, this very moment. I'm done with you. Back to the brief. Unsurprisingly, there is some tapping of the brakes on this surging hope towards renewed freedom. The flu kills 12,000 to 52,000 people annually, and endemic COVID is expected to add 40,000 to 100,000 annual deaths to that toll, according to Trevor Bedford, a viral evolution specialist from the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center. In other words, learning to live with it may not necessarily be seen as a full return to normal, which keeps open the possibility that governments and institutions could continue various requirements indefinitely. Officials from Spain, the UK, as well as President Biden, have all made statements indicating that an evolving endemic virus would be managed with new tools and new ways of living. Those are quotes. UK Cabinet Minister Nadhim Zahawi noted that testing, shots, and antiviral drugs will likely become part of the transition strategy. Y'all are welcome to do whatever you want to do. People in general are welcome, as far as I'm concerned, to do whatever they want to do, as long as they're not actually harming myself or taking money out of my pocket, I don't care. But again, you don't get to tell me what I can and can't do. Period, the end. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their creator, not their government, with certain inalienable rights. And among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I take that really seriously. Including that liberty part. You don't get to tell me what to do. And I don't get to tell you what to do. And a little bit of tyranny is still tyranny. A little bit of forced vaccination, a little bit of social distancing, a little bit of mask wearing, a little bit of show me your papers, please, is still unacceptable in my book. And I won't be playing those games. Luckily for me, because of where I live, strategic relocation, I'm not going to have to play those games. It is illegal in my state to require the playing of those games. Now, we made mention of Spain in this last paragraph here. Spain, interestingly, through the auspices of NATO, has deployed some warships to the Black Sea. Where's the Black Sea, Bear? Well, there's a reason there's a piece of paper stuck in my pocket. Let's get to that. this right here, for those of y'all who can't or won't do the Google thing, is a map of the Ukraine. Okay? Do you see this? This is Ukraine right here. This over here is Russia. Up north we have Belarus. To the south we have the Crimean Peninsula here. This is the Sea of Azov, and this is the Black Sea. Okay? So, Spain, which is on the map, like way over here where my hand is, now has warships in the Black Sea. Mostly, my opinion, because NATO, which is led by the United States, is suffering from a lack of leadership at this time, which is why you see smaller nations like Spain stepping up to potentially, air quote, do something about this situation in Ukraine. By the way, this map is available on Google for anybody who'd like to know more about the layout here. This line through the middle is the Dnieper River, and this little dot up here is Kiev. This is the capital of Ukraine. And this river, this line of demarcation right here, is the assumed limit of advance. It's the assumed as far as Russia is going to go from the east, from the west, I'm heading west on the eastern border of Ukraine, go as far as this here, the Dnieper River. That was before Russia put people in Belarus as well. And the Belarusian government is corrupt AF, okay? They're just as corrupt as the Ukrainians are, but they are squarely in the pocket of Russia, unlike Ukraine. And so the growing concern now is that Russia is going to full-blown occupy Belarus and then full-blown take Ukraine, take all of it, because they've now got Ukraine on their eastern border and their northern border. And as you can see, that comprises over 50% of their total border from here all the way around down here to the sea. And in this Sea of Azov, Russia has warships as well. They also currently control the Crimean Peninsula. So they got them. Additionally, Belarus shares a border with Poland. Up here, you guys can see this. This is Poland. This is Belarus. And the concern is that if Russia takes all of this, they are Russia, they control Crimea, and they're essentially controlling Belarus, they now are within striking distance of Poland, which is a NATO ally, which is a NATO country, and a relatively strong ally of the United States. Now we get into the issue of you punch me, I punch you back harder. Escalation of force, mutually assured destruction, question mark. You know, then we potentially have the warheads on foreheads scenario that everybody's truly concerned about. Also, the Dnieper River, which runs, generally speaking, north-south, runs all the way up into Scandinavia. All the way up there. Finland, the Finns and the Russians don't exactly get along. Finland fought its own war of independence against the Russians. But the Russians have ports up there as well. And they now, in theory, can connect their northern ports, which are under ice 8 months out of the year, to their southern ports in the Sea of Azov. And so, it's not just about the Crimean Peninsula in Ukraine. It's not just about the Luhansk and Donetsk regions in Ukraine. It's looking more and more like they're going to take all of it. In for a penny, in for a pound. So, maps are cool. You should have maps. Not necessarily of Ukraine. In fact, when I asked my wife this morning to print that off for me, she's like, you have lots of maps. You don't have a map of Ukraine. And my response to her was a little tongue-in-cheek. I've never had to navigate Ukraine before, so I don't actually have like a printed, laminated map of Ukraine. That may change, though. Now, the question becomes why? Why would Russia take all of Ukraine? So I'm going to read a little bit from you from Wikipedia. They're communist bastards. I know. I'm aware. I'm still going to read to you from Wikipedia. an article on Ukraine, an article specifically on the economy of Ukraine, and under sectors, the industries of the economy in Ukraine. Ukraine is home to companies operating in around 20 major industries, namely power generation, fuel, ferrous and non-ferrous metallurgy, chemical and petrochemical and gas, machine building, metalworking, forestry, woodworking, wood pulp and paper construction materials, light, food, and others. Mining and production. There are nearly 8,000 separate deposits harboring some 90 different minerals, of which 20 are economically significant. Now, minerals. What do we need minerals for? Well, lots of reasons. Fertilizer, metallurgy, specifically making the types of very expensive, very rare metals that one uses in the defense industry, which we'll touch on in a moment, and lots of other things. 90 different minerals, 8,000 separate deposits, about which 20 are economically significant. They have coal, they have natural gas, chalk, limestone, blah, blah, blah. Seventh largest producer in the world of iron ore, eighth largest producer of manganese, sixth largest of titanium, seventh largest producer worldwide of graphite, and the world's ninth largest producer of uranium as of 2018. Ukraine has a rich chemical industry for the production of coke, mineral fertilizers, and sulfuric acid. They have strategic and defensive industries. Ukraine's defense industry is organized around Ukroborom, a state-owned conglomerate of over 130 companies. The signing of recent large contracts puts Ukraine in sixth place amongst the biggest arms traders after the United States, the Russian Federation, France, Germany, and Israel. The output of Ukrainian defense plants grew as of 58% in 2009, with the largest growth reported by aircraft builders and ship builders. They have their own fuel industry, their own electric industry, automotive industry, aircraft and aerospace industry. Ukraine is one of nine countries with a full cycle of aerospace hardware, engineering, and production. This is very technologically advanced engineering and production. Ukraine is one of nine countries on the face of the earth that has this as well. Space rocket industry in Ukraine has been managed by the National Space Agency of Ukraine. Includes 30 enterprises. The National Space Agency of Ukraine is involved in cooperation with American Rockwell International, as well as the Sea Launch Project. The first stage of the U.S. orbital ATK Antares rocket was designed and manufactured in Ukraine. They have a huge shipbuilding industry. They have 11 shipyards, have produced 237 navigation units for a total value of $1.5 billion. And agriculture. Although typically known as the industrial base of the Soviet Union, I wonder why Russia would want Ukraine. Although typically known as the industrial base of the Soviet Union, agriculture is a large part of Ukraine's economy. In fact, Ukraine is one of the world's largest agricultural producers and exporters and is known as the breadbasket of Europe. Can we see reasons why? Strategically, one would like to possess Ukraine. As of 2018, it was the fifth largest producer of maize, aka corn, 35.8 million tons, the eighth largest producer of wheat in the world, the third largest producer of potatoes, second only to China and India, 22.5 million tons, the world's largest producer of sunflower seeds, seventh largest producer of sugar beets, which is used to produce both sugar and ethanol, seventh largest producer of barley, seventh largest world producer of rapeseed oil, 13th of tomatoes, 5th largest of cabbage, 11th largest producer of apples, 3rd largest of pumpkins, 6th of cucumbers, 5th of carrots, 4th of dry peas, rye, 7th in the world in rye, 3rd in the world in buckwheat, 6th in walnuts, also produces soy, onions, grapes, oats, watermelons, cherries, and a myriad of other agricultural products. Ukraine is also has a long-standing reputation as a major technology region with a well-developed scientific and educational base. Ukraine ranks 4th in the world in the number of certified IT professionals after the United States, India, and Russia. Recently, the Norwegians, I believe it was, the undersea communications cable running into Norway was cut, probably by Russians, in a submarine, a big yellow submarine most likely, because that gives you a great tactical advantage. Yes, I'm being facetious. One of the, I believe it was S2 Underground, was talking about this recently. And I concur. I agree. One of the indicators for a potential World War III or the start of World War III is going to be the internet going dark. Okay? Commo goes down. Well, Russia has poured trillions of dollars into their subsurface underwater capabilities since the fall of the Soviet Union. And they very likely cut that cable running to Norway. This has Great Britain very concerned because Great Britain is an island nation. BT dubs, most of the commo that takes place around the world is still done on very large cables. Some countries like the United States, there are satellite capability, tower capability, but in a lot of places, it's all done with copper cables. It's still done with copper cables. And those things that run underneath the ocean can be cut. And that one running into Norway was cut. Additionally, see, that's attack on infrastructure, critical infrastructure. But this can also be done with cyber attacks. And we know that Russia is engaged in cyber attacks. In fact, that they've hinted that if people won't play ball with Russia's ambitions in Ukraine, other nations won't play ball, that those other nations will suffer crippling cyber attacks. And why would another reason why, strategically, it would be in Russia's best interest to possess Ukraine? All of this is supporting documentation for the argument that Russia will go ahead and just take all of Ukraine. And they may very well do that, in for a penny, in for a pound. I believe, and I have said for months now, that if Russia goes to the Dnieper River, which they likely will, if that's their limit of advance, Kiev, the capital of Ukraine, is on the Dnieper River. And the government, the duly instituted government of Ukraine, or whatever, will become a government in exile. That's going to leave a power vacuum. The Russians will already be there. The Russians will step in. And they may, gosh, what do they call it? The security, Russia has a security agreement, the COTS, or SOCs or something, I forget. It's basically something similar to NATO for the states in and around Russia that is the military unit, the military arm that was deployed in Kazakhstan to put down the coup in Kazakhstan. Yeah, so maybe Russia's like, we need peacekeepers in Ukraine for this peaceful transition of power because the government is in exile. Cool, and they call in this regional security organization, which is run by Russia, much like NATO is run by the United States, right? And it gets back to proxy wars and the big kids on the playground. The two big kids are going to get into a fight. Okay, well, maybe some people on their crews get into fights first before the big kids on the playground get into a fight. So, again, all this is supporting documentation that potentially Russia does take all of Ukraine. And again, the key takeaway there is if they do, that puts them in a prime position to threaten actual NATO allies. Ukraine is not a part of NATO. They would like to be. But if Russia threatens actual NATO allies, for example, again, like Poland, then we get into a situation where we could have serious escalation of force. And I don't know if you've noticed, but the commander-in-chief is not exactly somebody that I would consider competent or qualified to deal with a situation like that. And his cabinet does not impress me either. So indicators for you. We talked about this on the brief on Wednesday. What does this mean for you? If it's a big deal that this is all going to go down for you, you're probably in the wrong place. What do you do about it? You keep doing what you're doing. You keep preparing. Keep preparing. Now, if you sat through all of that, I appreciate your attention. Thank you very much. I want to show you something. This is my Bearfac 3.0 that runs around with me in the woods, on my pack or in my pack when I am doing the things. This is a purpose-built first aid kit, and it is designed to treat the MARCH algorithm: massive bleeding, airway, respiratory, circulation, head injury, hypothermia, and everything else. The MARCH algorithm. And see, with for a long time, the algorithm was, and in many places still is, the ABCs, right? Airway, breathing, and circulation. The problem with that is if we're trying to maintain a patent airway, make sure that you can breathe, but your blood is spilling out all over the place, it doesn't matter how much air, how much oxygen we get into you, if the blood, which is the oxygen delivery device, is leaving your body at a rate that is irrecoverable. Yeah. So that has been changed, especially in the world of tactical medicine, TCCC, Tactical Combat Casualty Care, which is where we get the MARCH algorithm from. So the first M, MARCH, is massive bleeding, keep the blood inside the body, and then airway, and then respiratory, and then circulation, head injury, hypothermia, everything else. And so this kit is built, it's designed to deal with the MARCH algorithm. And I have added a soft T tourniquet to the side of this, which is rubber banded on there, as you can see. And I've got my shears on the outside that if I have a wound that needs to be exposed ASAP, I can do that. Then the way this works, and by the way, this comes from Refuge Medical. It's one of our companies. Handmade, made in America, guaranteed forever. Deployed on 4 continents with all branches of the U.S. Armed Forces electively, because this is way better than what they're issued. It's about this big, by the way. There's my hand. There's the Bearfac. It's about that big. Molly capable on the back. You can run it on a belt. You can tie it to your rucksack. You can stick this in your vehicle. Lots of these in vehicles, which is awesome. The way this works, you pull this tab like that. You pull the top back, and then you have a red handle inside of here. Then you pull the inner out of the outer, okay? So the outer provides our durability and our portability. This is ballistic nylon, okay? Made in America. The inner provides our capability. And as you can see, made in the USA. These are all hand-stitched in the Estados Unidos. This is our inner pouch. And it's designed that if you needed to, you can open this with one hand. And look, all my junk didn't go flying all over the place. It's also organized in priority of care. So the first thing that I've got is my tourniquet for bleeding, right? And it's not my primary tourniquet. My primary tourniquet is outside of here where I can get at it. But I've got a tourniquet for massive bleeding. I've then got a pressure bandage for massive bleeding, okay? Got a Sharpie in the middle. And by the way, at checkout, you can add a 14-gauge catheter for needle decompression as well, if you click the little box. I've got gloves, I've got my Sharpie, I've got my cat tourniquet, I've got a 6-inch pressure bandage. All this is from North American Rescue, by the way, the best in the business. I've got my surgical tape here. It's not poor quality paper tape, it's good quality surgical tape, and it's retained by this Velcro, but I can do that and pull it out, okay? In the back here is another pocket, and in this pocket we have what we call the stack. The stack pulls out like so. In the 3.0, we've added a Burn Tech dressing for burns to this. We've got 2 full-size Hyphen chest seals, name brand, 2 of them, for an entry hole and an exit hole, or for your left lung, right lung. We've got a nasal pharyngeal airway, and we've got 2 5x9 gauze pads, because if I need big gauze, I need it now, and I don't want to go digging for it big gauze is good. Little gauze, not life-threatening. If I need big gauze, probably life-threatening. Then down here, in the bottom portion down here, we have our quick clot rolled gauze right here for wound packing with our critical bleeds. And then we have in this pouch down here, our everything else. We've got an eye shield for eye injuries, eye pads, small gauze, 2x2s, 4x4s, another 5x9 is in there, a couple of eye pads, fold flat duct tape. You can see the edge of it right there because it sticks to everything, including blood, sweat, and tears. We've got our compressed gauze right here. We've got a triangle bandage. We've got rolled gauze. We've got an emergency Mylar blanket right here, all stuffed inside of this. And so the prioritization of care here is built around critical bleeding because in preventable deaths in the United States, in the 90th percentile, so 9 out of 10 preventable deaths in the United States are uncontrolled bleeding, which is why the MARCH algorithm prioritizes massive bleeding above everything else. And so the priority of care in this kit is massive bleeding first, and then airway and respiratory. So massive bleeding is here, airway and respiratory in the back, right? And then circulation, head injury, hypothermia, everything else, which is down here, which is, you can still get to it easily, but it's a little bit more difficult. But it's obviously thoughtfully laid out. You can even hang this on a peg or a hook or whatever as you're working on somebody. And it's also designed that in low light and no light conditions, as long as you're familiar with your kit, you can still use it. And so this is the BEARFACK, because I'm Bear and it's my first aid kit, the BEARFACK. And you can get it from refugemedical.com. You can use promo code BEARNATION. In fact, I would appreciate it if you did. That'll get you free shipping on whatever products you can find in the store. Also, there are multiple other products in there. So if you need a kit for your war belt, you want to look at the SOB. If you need a kit for your vehicle, look at the Adventure Kit, which is back in stock, and it is a completely badass kit, the Adventure Kit. It's everything from Band-Aids to bullet holes to broken bones is the Adventure Kit. Stomp bags. If you're going to go operationally operate like an operator, Stomp Bag stands for SEAL Team Operational Medical Pack. It is a hospital on your back. That's what it is. And if you follow Carl at Tactical Rifleman, you've seen him rave about our Stomp Bag, which is cool when you got a special forces guy that knows medical stuff is like, hey, dude, this bag is phenomenal. Yup. That's actually how this came to be about, was this was developed by me. It was iterated on by some special forces friends of mine. And we're now on the Gen 3. And this is the Gen 3 BEARFACK. Completely civilian legal. 29 lives saved in the last 2 years. 29 confirmed lives saved with this kit. Thank you for listening to me talk about it. I appreciate you very much. And that's the show, ladies and gentlemen. Shout out to all the patrons for supporting the show on patreon.com. You can search for Bear Independent there. And please share this out with somebody you think needs to see it. And if you're new here, ring the little bell icon, click the subscribe button, share it out, do the things. Bless y'all. Shalom.